Comedian, writer, and TV show host W. Kamau Bell has been using humor to dismantle racism for decades. He's co-written a new book that engages some of the most difficult topics around race and racism, with the goal of giving readers the language and ways to take action. His new book is called Do the Work, an Anti-Racist Activity Book. Here now is Tanya Mosley, spoke with W. Kamau Bell about it, and the latest season of his CNN show, United Shades of America, which began this month.
Kamau, you've described the first season of United Shades of America as a show about places that Black men shouldn't go. You're now in the seventh season. Would you still describe it that way?
Maybe it's places America needs to go is I guess the seventh season. I think this is like, you know, we're going right into the divide, or right into the place where America does not look at and spend enough time. Like, our first episode was about woke and CRT, which is about the divide, and the second episode was about Black folks in Appalachia, which is places where America does not generally spend time. So I think it's places where all Americans should go. I should just take all Americans with me.
Yeah, so let's touch on that first episode about CRT, critical race theory, and how it's become more or less the boogeyman, as one of your guests described it. What were some of the biggest surprises you learned about maybe the ways that Americans perceive the teaching of race and racism?
I mean, the funny thing is, if you say, should we teach CRT in our schools, to a lot of people, they'll be like, no, absolutely not. And then if you go, should we teach an age-appropriate, accurate history of this country? More people say yes. Not everybody, but more people say yes. And so I think it's just clear that CRT has been twisted, and same with woke, has been twisted from their original meanings and has become buzzwords for evil, which neither one of them is actually a synonym for evil. And so some people are just afraid of it. And then if you ask those people who don't like CRT to define it, many of them can't even come close to defining it. They just know that they're supposed to be afraid of it.
You know, Kamau, when I watch your work, the saying, laugh to keep from crying, comes to mind. But I am wondering, is it ever hard to find humor in some of these topics?
I mean, over the course of the seven seasons of the show, I have worked harder to keep my mental health. Part of that is literally having a therapist. So I think that's a part of it. And then also the way in which we set up the show. I mean, if you go from the first season, the first episode of the show, first season, I was the only Black person in any leadership role in the show, or any sort of key role in the show. I was the only person of color, I believe, too, certainly out in the field. But then if you go to the next seasons of the show, by now it's an all Black camera crew. There's many people of color in throughout the production process, many people of color directors. And so I just feel safer out in the field doing the show.
Mm. Does the show feel richer? Truer, more in line with what you want for it this way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this whole series has been about me sort of getting the show more in my own voice. The show wasn't pitched for me. It was pitched for a Black comedian. And then by now every season I work harder to get it in my own voice, and also to hire better collaborators, so people who can make your voice even smarter than you thought your voice was in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little about your new book, Do the Work. It's an anti-racist activity book that you co-wrote with writer Kate Schatz. Why did the two of you think a workbook was the best way to explore these topics?
I mean, this really comes out of 2020. I mean, we were all at home watching, the COVID counts go up and all the people dying. And we're all sort of watching the news. And then March 25th of 2020, which I remember because it's also my daughter's birthday, George Floyd is murdered by the Minneapolis police. And you see, and the news goes, wait, there's something else you should pay attention to. And then I and Kate separately were suddenly being looked at to explain racism in America, because Kate, in the work she does, is a white anti-racist. Me, is the work I do, as whatever this career is. And I remember I called Kate up one time because we were friends, and I was like, I'm about to go on Conan O'Brien, but I've said the same things over and over again. What do you think I should say to a white man of this privilege? Mm-hmm. And the conversation we had ended up, if you watch the interview with Conan, that's all a conversation with Kate that I had 10 minutes before. And then out of that, I was like, we should work on a book. And at the same time we're talking about this, our kids are doing these Brain Quest books because school hadn't started again because of lockdowns. And so we're like, that's the kind of book we should do.
Up front in the first few pages, the book says it's for white people. You're a Black man. I mean, it would be understandable if you said, I'm from a marginalized community. I don't need to learn how to be anti-racist. And other Black and brown people might be thinking about this too when they see this book. What do you say to that?
I mean, the thing is that we can all be smarter. I certainly think I could hand it, like, you know, the intro to the book is by Alicia Garza, who's one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter and a great friend of mine. I'm sure there's things in that book that she either doesn't know or is like, oh, I didn't realize that version of it. But to be honest, this book is directed at the people who in the summer of 2020, after George Floyd's murder and Breonna Taylor and so many others, turned their Instagram squares black for racial justice and then didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And most of those people, by my account, are white folks. I feel like Black people, there may be facts and figures we don't know. There may be data we don't know, but we know racism exists and we know that it's a problem from the top to the bottom of this country. And I'm not saying we have all the data, but we know it. And whereas white people, I think there's a sense of, like, especially those white people who think the racial reckoning in 2020 happened. They think it was a thing that we did. And you look out now and you go, well, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, police still killing Black people in the streets, the racial reckoning didn't happen. And so this book is directly at them, but it doesn't mean you're people of color, Black folks, Indigenous folks, we can still get something out of it. But we wanted to be clear about who the book was for.
Yeah, to your point about that specificity, I did the exercise in the book with my kids to find out what stolen land we live on. We know that we're living on stolen land, but knowing those specific details, that it was first occupied, of course, by Indigenous people, but the specificity of what tribe. What's one of your favorite exercises in the book?
I think my favorite exercise is the one, check your privilege. That's really just a way to go through your own. We think about privilege and we sort of think of white privilege as just being the whole term, but really it's about what privileges do you have in your life? Things that you didn't decide to get that have just been thrust upon you either by DNA or where you were born, or things that came to you that you didn't have to fight for. They just were brought to you. And I think for me, even though as a Black man, I don't have white privilege, but as a 6'4" man, I have tall privilege. As a guy who's having a somewhat successful career in show business, I have Hollywood privilege, you know? So there's a sense of, like, really wanting people to go, what privilege do I have? And taking the word white out of it and go, just look at yourself, answer these questions. And are there things that you have that you're not even aware of?
Hmm. I'm sure you hear a variation of this, but some white people have expressed feeling hesitant to do this kind of work because they're afraid of messing up. You say that messing up is the point.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of very quickly, me and Kate talked about, like, what happens if I mess up? Oh, first of all, it's not if you mess up, it's when you mess up. Mm. And then it's how you recover from the mess up. Like, you know, I mess up all the time. I'm a man who tries to go out into the world and get, people call me a male feminist. And now I don't call myself that because that's like giving myself a black belt. But that means that sometimes I'm in situations where I say something and one of my women friends will be like, that ain't it. Like, mm-hmm. And I go, oh, good point. Thanks for pulling my coat on that. So I think the more we, you know, I always quote the great prophet Daniel Tiger from PBS saying, I'm sorry is the first step, then how can I help? And that's where I've learned. It's not about if you mess up, it's about when you mess up, apologizing and then doing the reparative work. Some people say reparations to fix the problem.
W. Kamau Bell is a comedian and host of the CNN series United Shades of America. His new book is titled Do the Work, an Anti-Racist Activity Book. Kamau, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.